Hello, everybody. Welcome back to a Record Room exclusive podcast. We're here with a very special guest. I've been trying to get this man to sit down with me and have this conversation. He's a very busy man, elusive man, you know, doing big things in Northampton. He's really representing for the scene, for the music. And I think he's a very introspective person who's actually got a lot to say, but I will let him introduce himself.
Yo, yo, yo. Well, thank you for that introduction anyway, Daff. I think that's the best one I've had.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Well, it's Tino, better known as Zeno, rapper from Northampton. I come here to Free to Talk, and I'm here to talk to my boy Greg here today, so yeah.
Yeah, no. I've known Zeno or Tino for a while, but like just getting him down to, you know, to talk with us and have a podcast is definitely a privilege. And thank you for coming. You know, I know he attends our sessions regularly, but you know, we don't take this for granted for like, so thank you for coming. So like getting into it, my first question to you is like, you had a massive 2024, like you were doing big things. Tell me about that. Tell me what your big highlights were for 2024.
2024 started off for pretty much like January for me.
Yeah.
With the song, it did well in 2023 towards the end of it on TikTok, that song being C'est La Vie, obviously, as we know.
Yeah.
What it's done today. And then after that, it was a couple busy months after that, like first introduction into the music game and seeing all the companies and the record labels, yeah, and how life as an actual artist, so to speak, is like. So, yeah. And then towards the end of the year, I did Dizzy Rascal.
Yeah,
Dalit Priyabi, even in Northampton. So that was really good as well. And then through that, had a couple songs dropping, remix with big rapper RD from Brighton. And then I had another feature with another artist from London.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's what was happening at the same time. So it was a busy year for sure. Loads of studio sessions, meetings, all that other stuff. It was my brain had a long.
Yeah, and how would you describe that? Because that's a lot, like for one person. That sounds like four or five lives, but yeah, you know, that's literally you in 1 year. How was that feeling? How did you process it? What was your thought process going through that? Like, how did you manage all of that?
I was new to me, so it hit me like a ton of bricks. Like,
yeah,
straight away, obviously. Anyone who said that they wasn't in that situation and they said they weren't gassed by it, they're lying, because it's like completely different. It's everything that you ever wanted at like such an instant. Do you know what I mean? I can't fault it. But yeah, it was a good year. It was a lot for me socially wise, like having to step into becoming this artist, and also people were overseeing me as an artist. So I've got to come correct, you know, different way. I was 18 at the time, just turned 19 even.
Wow. Yeah,
it was new to me. So it was a lot I had to get my head into it right. You know what I mean?
And speaking on that, what would you say your biggest learning points from that experience? Because of course it's a great experience, but what do you think you were like, right, you know what? I actually learned something about myself or my music, or what do you think your biggest lessons were?
The biggest lesson for sure was just learning how to keep yourself level-headed in them situations. Do you know what? Like, because obviously, you're up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, everything that people say happens to you when you come up.
When you blow up.
Yeah, it is what happens. But like learning how to enjoy the good moments when we had it, but realize, okay, when it's time to work, it was time to work. Do you know what I mean? That was the biggest lesson for me. Because I've never been in that type of situation. So it was like separating what I had to do with the other stuff. Do you know what I mean?
And
learning to control that.
Yeah.
So that was the biggest lesson.
And challenges, like if you can say, I mean, of course, there's a few challenges there. What do you think your biggest challenge was maybe with that?
Challenge was getting into my own head about expectation.
Yeah.
You know, it was a lot. And labels would like, well, the label that I was with at the time, where they wanted me to make another C'est La Vie.
Yeah.
When I wanted to progress with my music I didn't want to make another C'est la Vie to show people something else because I didn't want to get labeled into that category. So yeah, that was the biggest
And that's an interesting thing that and that poses a question for me. And I'm thinking, it's like, where do you get that resilience to say, you know what, I'm gonna do my own thing despite what these labels are saying? Because I think a lot of people in that situation, they were like, you know what, right? I'm trying to cash in. I'm trying to do what these labels are saying because they've got the money, they've got the funds, they've got the links. But you are like, no, I've got my own identity. I've got my own vision. Where do you think that comes from?
From the start, I just always saw people, the greatest. There was a path that they took. There were steps that they took.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people in the new rappers these days miss them steps completely.
Yeah.
They jump ahead ship and they do the big headline shows in their first year and they do all these cities and all these... And then after that, what do you do? This is like my label, my manager at the time, she was saying to me, like, I want you to get into your head about keeping your path as natural as possible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's cool. Like, they go get the advance, go shopping.
Yeah.
Posting the new clothes.
Yeah. That pressure, yeah.
Yeah, and then they do the fire in the booth and it's not that good. And then they go on and they make a couple other songs that they need to pay all that money back with by... And it's not that good because they're listening to the label. Do you know what I mean? And they're listening to what people want them to do. You're the artist. You should make your own music. So, yeah, I wanted to keep my path as natural as possible. Not say, like, follow these people's steps, but also the blueprint's already written. Why would you? You would be dumb not to follow it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's a good point because I think there's something about that resilience that comes from authenticity. Like, you're authentic to yourself. So, like, no, that's not Tino. That's not Zine. That's not me. I'm not going to sell myself. But unfortunately, a lot of people in that position would have done that. So I just wanted to figure out where that came from. And you were talking about blueprints and people before you. So who were the artists that you looked up to and kind of gave you that blueprint to kind of instill that resilience? Who would you say you looked up to growing up?
Rapping-wise, it was like... Nowadays, I've been in that position. It's definitely like Dave and Drake and, you know, like the goats of the rap. Do you know what I mean? But back in the day, it was Tupac.
Yeah.
It was Biggie. It was Nelly.
Kelly.
It was just like R&B stuff that my mum was listening to. And then obviously a bit of reggae from my dad's side. So yeah, like it was all them people mixed together. And I wouldn't say that I learned the blueprint from young. It was like, as I grew up, I was kind of seeing what they was doing just through like watching different stuff.
Yeah.
And like, obviously, you see these people a lot as you're growing up because they're the superstars of the
world. Yeah, they are.
Exactly. And you see the stuff that they do and the stuff that they don't do.
Yeah.
You kind of have to, if you want to live the life, you kind of have to start acting like it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think that really shows something about you, that analytical side that you actually can sit back and watch people and say, rah, you know what? This is a good thing that Drake did here. Oh, I like what Dave did here. So I think that is actually a really good skill and that will definitely take you far. You're able to absorb that information because a lot of people sometimes, they just live in the moment and it's just vibes.
Yeah.
They just say, okay, I'm just going to do this. There's no plan. It's just vibes.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a good quality. And I think more people need to do that and be like, okay, what is my next move? What am I going to do when this happens? Like, you're seeing different outcomes and have that, like you said, that blueprint, that plan and those steps, and you don't want to skip those steps because that's kind of makes you the artist and makes the fans invest.
Yeah, but you must see it even yourself, like on, even if you're trying not to see it, you always see some good things from people and you always see some bad things from people, and the bad things that they do always gets more exposure than the good things that they do.
That is very true.
You know what I mean? So you need to learn from their mistakes. Like, obviously it's on your social media every day. You need to look at what other people are doing. Like, look at other people out, not even in rap, outside of rap, and what they're doing and how you don't want to relate yourself to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, just build yourself off of how you want to do stuff, and I feel like everything will be all right.
And talking about building, you've been secretly in the studio building up to something, and I would like you to talk a bit more about that, the thing you've been building, like... the thing you've been grafting on, the thing you have been secretly, you know, cultivating for the people.
In
like
the back cave.
Yeah, in the back cave, you know,
yeah.
Plotting, scheming.
Yeah. No, it's definitely been like a lot of songs. Oh, I should start off by talking about it. Well, I'm planning on dropping an EP at the end of May. So yeah, that's been in the works for the last year even, and so on. Just loads of songs building up how I want it to sound.
Yeah.
And you even know yourself, like how long I've spoke about doing this, and it's just, I feel like the time is definitely right now.
Yeah. And why do you think it's the time is right? Why wasn't it previous before? Why didn't that work out?
I just didn't think I was there mentally in my rapping just to drop it. I didn't feel like the songs that I was making were A, mature enough,
mm-hmm.
and B, they were kind of just going out there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It wasn't really targeted. Now I feel like my pen is now getting to a point where each song I'm talking about a specific thing or something in the song, and it's all relating to each other. That's why I feel like, how you say, I wasn't ready for it then. I just didn't feel like it was time yet.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
And leading on to my next question, would you say you have a particular sound? What would you say to the fans and the people expecting this new, because this is a surprise, what should they expect on this project?
You can expect me, Tino. That's what you can expect from this. I feel like a lot of people just making music now to cater to other people's ears. I'm making music to cater to the problem and to cater to the solution. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Like I'm not trying to get into like a spiritual rapping type thing. I'm trying to say, but I just feel like there's loads of things that people are talking about and loads of things that people are not talking about, but things that are going on. People want to relate. They want that music again. Do you know what I mean? They want real music that they can relate to again. Something that they can be like, oh, you know what? That was me. Because I'm just talking about things that I'm doing. And funny enough, it just relates to everyone else. Because everyone's in the same situation right now. Do you know what I mean?
No, and I think that's definitely as an older head now, like, because like I'm in my 30s, but yes, it is. Yeah, I'm an older head, but I think we need more of that music that's relatable, not just a vibe, but things that people can actually deep and say, you know what, like I've gone through this, like what you said. I can relate to this. You know what? This was me 2 years ago.
Yeah.
This was me 3 years ago. You know, people should be able to see themselves in your music and be like, you know what? As a human being, because we're all different, but at the end of the day, we're all humans and we all have similar issues. We've all been through some sort of tragedy or a sticky situation or even fun times. It doesn't have to be all these bad things. But I think that human element, what you're saying is sometimes it's missing. Sometimes it's just an aesthetic.
Exactly, and I feel like no matter how big or small, them people who make that type of music, their fan base is always the best.
Yeah.
And always the most loyal to them, no matter what happens. That's what I'm trying to build. I'm not trying to have people out here who just make 15-second videos to my song, and then that's it, forget about me.
Yeah, it's true. And I think, and especially in this generation, it's hard to have that staying power, you know, because you can be like hot today, but as soon as the sound moves to something else, because like right now it's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna be on that jerk thing, or I'm gonna be on that drill thing, or I'm gonna be on that sexy drill thing. Yeah. You know, there's so many different sounds, but like once it's not cool anymore, then it's like people kind of forget about
you. Where do you go from there? And I'm not knocking them sounds by saying this, that I just want to be different to sound and how these people sound. It's just the music that I like, it doesn't sound like how these people are sounding. I don't go home and I don't talk about people shooting each other and killing each other. I just don't do that. I listen to what I consider good music. And if I consider it good music, I'm going to make music that I consider good as well. So it just fits into the same bracket.
Yeah. And talking about your EP and what's the, because I don't even know what the name of the EP is. Do you have a name yet? Do you not have a name yet?
We haven't decided on a name yet. As you heard the other day, it's in the early stage. Well, middle to late stages of getting finished. The name is yet to come up with.
No, but that's fine. But I think like what we're saying, like what kind of feeling do you want people to take away? What's the biggest takeaway do you want from the EP?
I just want people to recognize. That's it. I just want people to recognize. I want when people are talking about who the good artists right now are, I want my name to be in them conversations. I just want to be recognized for the work that I've put in, definitely. That's it. Like, no matter how many people hear it, I just want to get recognized, yeah, from that. That's it.
That's fair. And what other goals do you have for the year? Like, if you said, okay, this would make 2025 just as good as 2024. What's something you want to do more?
I want to do more performances.
Yeah.
Because I love performing.
Yeah, and I've actually had the privilege, you know, to see my man in action. And yeah, no, it's definitely a sight to see. And I'd love to be able to be like, yeah, I'm going to this event, yeah, and, you know, I'm seeing Tino more. Because I've seen him before and he's really bring the energy and the excitement. You know, I was able to go there with the Kojo fans one, and yeah, and yeah, that was my first time, so that was really good.
That's why I do it. Like, for all them people who are there in the first time, and like, obviously you knew of me before, but like, let's say someone in the crowd didn't know of me. That's why I like love performing so much, because it's, you can see everyone on stage.
Yeah,
so I can tell who's there, who knows me. Like, I can see people over there smiling. I can see people in the back corner with like a smirk, like a screw face on, thinking, who's this guy on the stage? And then the reason I love performing is because by the end, I'm hoping that everyone's just on that same vibe.
Yeah.
And normally, like, I hope, with the energy that I bring, I just hope that I get it there. Yeah.
No. That's good, man. And just going to my next question, I was like, who would you say top five, if you had a choice of collabs, who would you say, okay, album, I'm making an album, dream album, 2026, you get five features. Who's on the Zeno album?
Five features.
Yeah, okay, we can even limit it, can say the UK.
Five features. UK features, yeah,
can be from anywhere. I'm trying to make it easier,
Dave,
for you,
for sure.
Yeah.
Nave Smalls, do you know Nave Smalls?
Yeah, I know Nave Smalls.
I think that would be Young Ads.
Yeah,
because I like him on his own. He's cold.
Yeah, I like him too. D Block, shout out D Block.
Yeah, for sure. And the last one is, Skepta.
I thought you were going to say, I'm actually shocked. I thought you were going to say Potter Paper. I thought you were going to say him.
You know what? He's cold, and I feel like he's an honorable mention because he raps the realest out there. But yeah, nah, just off like who I think I would sound good with.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, nah, Skepta's making that list for sure.
And then you also hit me with a throwback name, Nave Smalls. There was a time, 2015, 2016, where that guy, isn't he like from Luton or something?
Yeah.
He was going on. Shout out to him, man. I just haven't heard him from in a while, but like he's
cold, and he can like rap as well, and he can sing as well, which is cold. That's not a lot of man can do that.
Yeah, man, like that is actually a sad. Yeah, shout out Skepta as well, man. Like, you know,
that's the goal of UK, right?
Yeah, nah, Skepta's been doing his thing. And like, you know, hopefully you can reach those levels one day and rep for anyone, bro. One of my last questions is, as you are progressing as an artist, how do you deal with the pressure? Like, when you were talking about the day, how do you deal with the pressure, like your mental health, how does that affect you? How do you deal with that? How do you process all the pressures of being a rapper? Because there is pressure. There's pressure to make hit songs. There's pressure to live a certain type of lifestyle. There's so many pressures, even financially, just all sorts of things. How do you deal with that?
It's a good question. the easiest way to deal with it is to, one, I feel like it's easier said than done, but always try to stay grounded as much as possible. Stay grounded. People always like say big you up and that, and but it's like, as bad as it sounds, it's really just a moment.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? And it's just, there's, you have loads of moments. There's loads of little. Don't get too worked up.
Yeah,
in one situation, good or bad. Do you know what I mean? Everyone has good days and everyone has bad days. No matter if you're making £1 million a year or you're making 30k a year, everyone goes through bad stuff. Like, to deal with your mental health is just don't get lost.
Yeah.
Don't get lost. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't lose your sense of self. Don't lose your sense of personality. It's very easy to do that. Especially as you're saying, there's pressure from all these different type of people that want you to do a certain something. Just separate. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get
back,
you.
Pull back sometimes. Do you know what? Take a step back. Take a, like, when it's good, take the good moments in and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Make sure you enjoy the good moments. But then when it's bad, don't dwell on it. And then you can always stay in the middle.
I think, you know, especially in this generation, I think it's really hard, like what you're saying. Like, it's really hard to actually, you know, do that. So what kind of support systems do you have? Who are those people? Like, those are your ride or dies. Who are those people that support you during maybe those not so great moments, or even in the good moments? Who are those people?
A lot of people would say friends.
Yeah.
But in a lot of situations, the friends are the people that are doing the pressure.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like in them situations, don't bottle it up and talk to yourself, but talk to the people who have always known who you are before the music. Maybe consider it, maybe be a friend that you fell out with, but they know who you are for real. Do you know what I mean? It's good to stay level-headed with the people around you who know you for who you are.
Yeah.
They'll give you the best advice for sure. So I wouldn't say friends, but I just say people who know who you really are.
Yeah. And would you say, talking about it, would you say like the studio is that your escape? Would you feel like that's your escape from some of those pressures? Do you feel like that is your time to kind of relax and focus, and like you feel more free, you don't feel that pressure? Would you say that?
Yeah, for sure. Because when you're in the studio, let's be it like there's only 3 people up in the studio, 4 people up in the studio sometimes. So like, you can lock into yourself. People who see me in there, I'm in the corner just writing in the corner alone with my head bopping. You don't have to think about anything else in the studio. Do you know what I mean? Everything goes out the window when you step through that door and it closes behind you in that space with just the beat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you can talk to it. You can talk on the beat and then all your problems are fine after that.
Yeah.
Because you spoke to someone about it.
Yeah, and this is one of my last questions is like, how did you find your passion in music? Because you haven't been doing it for that long, but it's really for maybe young people, and finding that thing where it's like, you know what, this is my passion. This is something I want to do. How did you find yours?
It first started when I started going to concerts. Like, I've always loved music, but when I started to go concerts and shows and see like all these people on stage, that's when I really got like not addicted to it, but I really fell in love with it.
Yeah,
because when you're in that crowd. Let's say, I don't know, who have you seen in shows before?
No, I have not. I'm not really a concert person. I haven't seen too many people. That's not how I. That's a different story for me. But like, nah, I get you. I think there's a feeling about going to places like that where it's like you feel alive. Like,
do you know what I mean? Like, going back to what I said in the studio, like when you're in that place. And you're listening to your favorite songs and you're having a good time, you're with your friends and everything. And everyone in that place is just locked into that one moment.
Yeah, man. There's something deep about that. And that's what we want. I think we want having these podcasts, we want young people to also find what their passion is, because it's taken you this far, you know, and you still have further to go. And I think it's good for you to, as soon as possible, I mean, school is great, but like, whatever it is, if it involves school, that's great. But find your passion, find the thing that, like what you say, gives you that feeling where it's like you just locked in and nothing else matters in that moment. But my last thing would be is, what advice would you give to young people, you know, in terms of following their passion? Or any advice you think that you've learned, a lesson you've learned, any advice?
Keeping it PG. Don't listen to what anyone says. Don't listen to them. Whatever someone's opinion is about you right now, I promise in 5 years, it will not matter at all. Let it be what it... Take that in any situation you want. Like, if you want to do something, then don't let no one else tell you that you can't do it, or if that you shouldn't be doing that. Do what you want. Like, don't watch anyone else. Just do your thing, because opinions change every day.
Yeah.
Opinions change every day, and you can turn heads quicker than someone's opinion will matter to you. Do you know what I mean? And there'll be one person who hates, there'll be 10 who love, bro. So just do what you need to do.
Yeah, I think that is actually really good advice, and also speaks a lot about you. And like what I said before, that resilience and authenticity, which is missing in a lot of young people. So I want them to kind of get that and understand that, you know what, even if you're doing well, people are still going to say stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure. But that don't mean just go at it half-heartedly. Yeah. That means if you're taking that step, don't step jump into that, and just go into it with your all, with your whole being, and do it. One option, lane A, that's it. Route one, that's it, bro. Don't plan no plan B, just do route one, bro.
Yeah, stick to the agenda, stick to the plan. Maybe that might be the name for the EP. Who knows, who knows, who knows. But I just want to thank Zeno for coming up here and, you know, having this discussion. Hopefully we can have more of these conversations, because I got to learn about him more as a person and actually speak to him and get into his mind a little bit. And I've heard some of the... Actually, all of the EP, and I think it's definitely something that will definitely change your mind and give you a certain feeling, because I definitely felt something when I was listening to it. And
that's the main goal.
And do you have any final thoughts or anything to say before we go?
Just watch out for me. I've got a song dropping soon, Two Baileys. I feel like it will be out already by the time that this has dropped. Go run up Two Baileys. If you don't know me, get to know me. T-I-N-O, the one and only. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This was a Record Room podcast. Thank you very much. See you next time. Bye.